I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, everybody? We are back with the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Season 10. We've got our amazing panel here, minus Maite. Of course, we miss our girl, but she'll be back with us next week. I am Laura Thomas-Thon. I'm happy to be here with you guys tonight. And along with me, I have Ethan. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Yeah, and of course, the lovely Jane. What's up, girlfriend?
What's up, guys?
We're all just holding it down here from home still, living our best lives. So thank you for joining us. So sorry we don't have our live chat up and running tonight, but we hope to have that back soon. The best way, though, to interact with us is to leave some comments for us below, because we are all about the comments. So definitely let us know what you thought about last night's episode in the comments. We will be all on it. First things first, I just want to kind of get overall impressions from the episode. Ethan, how did you feel about episode 7?
I was really excited to see them go to Santa Barbara, but once they got there, and we'll get into the dinner later, I just felt like the drama was really elongated and didn't even really seem to be that big of a deal with Denise and her children. So I was excited at first, but a little bit underwhelmed towards the end.
Agreed. What do you think, Jane? How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I did feel the same way. I was very happy for them to be in Santa Barbara. Love it there. It was nice scenery for our TVs. But I still need more Garcelle. It bothers me that we don't get more. And drama wasn't really cutting it this episode. And also, they went to bed at like 10 o'clock. Stay up late. The women in New York are literally giving us Girls Gone Wild. Like, wake up and give us something, you know? So I need them to party a little more. I get that Teddy's pregnant, but, you know, give us some wild nights. It's a little too much, like, elongated drama and less boozing.
I totally agree. I feel like, I just feel like this season has been one big, like, womp womp to me. And I keep waiting for the action to start or the action to go. And every time I think we get a piece of it, it's like, it ends up being like a big, massive underwhelmment. So I think we all can agree, but I love that you touched on Garcelle, because I want to start with our first topic, which is sort of a working women vibe that we got from both Denise and Garcelle in this episode. We saw Denise on The Bold and the Beautiful. Do either of you guys watch The Bold and the Beautiful? Have you ever in the past?
No.
Any soaps here? I'm a Days of Our Lives fan. I definitely was like all about Days, you know, in my high school days, but never watched Bold and the Beautiful.
I've never watched Days. I've known a lot of people who've been on it actually, but never got into soaps myself.
Yeah.
Bravo is the closest I get to soap operas.
Fair point, Jane. Fair point. I'm not going to disagree with that. Well, I think it was really cool to see Denise kind of in her element. I think, you know, last week she reminded us that I'm effing Denise Richards, which was a nice way to be able to kind of remind her, hey, who she is and what she's done. And it was nice. It was a nice segue to see her in her element. Is this a Denise that you guys can get behind? Jane, do you like this version of Denise, the working woman?
I mean, I love seeing it. I love that they actually took us behind the scenes on set, like, because it's what, a CBS show? Like, I just didn't expect that we would be given that side of things. So I really liked it. And it's just, I am sort of fascinated by soap operas in general. Not that I watch them, but it is a whole different genre. That it's like funny and interesting to see Denise doing that. She's the only person I would give a pass for the early bedtime, because she got off that set. She drove all the way up to Santa Barbara. She ate at the dinner. She got attacked, like, let the girl sleep. But other than that, you know, she's earning it. Like, most people watching this, we didn't even know that she was like moonlighting basically in soap opera land. And then after work, like, if she's able to do all that, then I just need more Garcelle. We love Garcelle and we need more. Like, I don't, Denise is giving us a lot. She's got the kids, she's got the acting jobs, and she's showing up.
She is definitely stepping up sort of as a content queen for us. She's checking all the boxes for me, for sure. Ethan, does Denise's over-involvement, or I guess super busy lifestyle, do you think that that is an excuse then for her always being late everywhere she goes?
I mean,
is it justifiable?
I would say no, because she likely has a team of people around her 24/7 scheduling in her day. I mean, you're a professional actress. You know how to show up on time to set. You should know how to show up on time to a reality show filming, unless of course you're like going between sets. Sure. But no, I don't think that's a pass out of being on time.
It seems to become a thing with her. You know, every time she's walking in late, we'll get to that a little bit later at the dinner, but it does seem to be a thing with her. Now, moving on to Garcelle, who we also saw for a hot second, per usual, right now, we get a glimpse of Garcelle, but she does say she loves working. She loves being, you know, active. She loves what she does, which I think is really, really great, but that it does take her away from her kids for sometimes a week at a time. You know, what, Ethan, what more do you want to see from Garcelle for the rest of the season? Is it more involvement or more drama?
I want to see more involvement, because she, I mean, I almost feel at this point, I was texting you guys last night, I'm like, give Sutton a tagline. Garcelle has lost her deserving of her tagline. I mean, she's seriously nowhere to be seen in this season. I'm being real. I mean, I think, you know, if she loves working, if she loves loading on multiple projects, sometimes part of being successful is knowing your limits, right? And knowing, like, how much you can and can't handle. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she can handle this show right now, right? She's like developing two movies. She's flying around the world. It just seems a little bit like she's not above this show, but she doesn't need it if she has all these other things going on. I would love to see more of her, but it seems like she's already overcommitted herself.
I would agree with that. It seems a little bit like if this is your first season into The Housewives, you would want to make a strong impression straight off the gate. And I just feel like we're getting a trickle of Garcelle and not like a wave. And I want a wave of Garcelle and I'm not getting it. How do you feel about it, Jane? Do you want to see more involvement or more drama or both?
I mean, cause she's not as involved, we don't get as much drama. So I obviously want both, and I'll continue to bang the drum throughout the season if we continue to not see her, cause this is out of love. Like, we love her, we want to see her, and we're confused. I'm just wondering if there's something like behind the fourth wall that we're not seeing. Is there like something about pay, or like something about egos, or something about, like, I don't know what it is, but like, where, why? Because everyone loves her. And the more we don't get to see her, the more we're like, what the hell? But it's probably that she overcommitted. But in my mind, I would like to create further drama of like, is it a paycheck thing? Or like, are editors, shady editors cutting her out? Like, what's going on? I mean, there's no way she would like be at the dinner and they cut her out of all of it, but still, you know.
You bring up a really good point, because, you know, there is, and I think that's what makes us great at our position here at AfterBuzz, is that we are questioning these things, right? We want to know what's actually happening behind the scenes. So I think that's a really good point. I would love to do some digging and find out what's going on with Garcelle, and like, is there more to the story than just I'm busy? Because Denise is busy too. She's late, but she's there.
Didn't we say at the beginning of the season, though, there's a trend with Beverly Hills where they sort of try to bully women out of the group, or at least test them. And maybe Garcelle felt that and just isn't having it, and is like, you know what, I'm going to say yes to this, this, and this throughout the season, because maybe she just felt like she wasn't ever really fully assimilated into the group.
I can definitely see that point. But also remember, the Garcelle that we saw last week in the car is a different version of Garcelle than we've seen on the season so far. She was, I don't want to say mean girling it, but she was right in there with the thick of them, just kind of throwing the shade. So she seemed to fit right in last week, at least against Camp Kyle. So I don't know. What do you think, Jane?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's bringing the drama, but I definitely feel like these aren't her actual friends. Like, I think she's been in acquaintances with many of them, like Lisa Rinna. But like we saw last episode that her actual friends, her ride or dies, are like the people who she truly wants to hang out with when she has free time. I'm just like, you signed something and you have to show up at some point, you know? So
time to do it.
I don't know, but I did like this scene though. It was cute where she was like saying, you know, who's her favorite, and they were in fights about it. And then I love how she was talking about, like the shading the other moms, because they're like, oh, hey, stranger. And right. Then she basically called them out on national TV, and it was really funny.
I was gonna say, in that sequence also, I really like seeing her interact with her kids. Like, it really shows her character as a parent. And because we're talking about Denise Richards working and Garcelle working here, I almost feel like Garcelle just has more of like an open channel with her kids, which I really like. And Denise just doesn't seem to have that. Like, she seems to be working constantly, but she's not involving her kids as much as Garcelle is, like, in her life. And that's what's causing the drama, you know, that we're going to talk about towards the end of the episode, is, you know, she can't have open conversations with her kids because maybe she's always just too busy for them.
That's a really good point. And I want to get more into Denise and sort of her, this hamster wheel that we keep riding with the drama with her kids and the conversations. I'm a little bit, to steal a line from Bethany Frankel, I'm a little full of the Denise buffet at the moment, but neither here nor there. We will move on. So the ladies then hop in a van and they head to Santa Barbara, beautiful, beautiful wine country. And obviously the first place that we see them stop is up here and do some wine tasting. Now, have either of you ever gone wine tasting in Santa Barbara, and was it as fancy and say debaucherous as what we saw on that pier? Did you have men jumping off the balcony is really what I'm asking.
Well, I've never gone wine tasting. I'm not of age, so.
Well, there's that.
But I have gone Surrey riding. You know when they did the little bikes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those are so fun. That's like the most fun thing to do in Santa Barbara. No okay. Shade. Santa Barbara,
but. Tell me more about that. And was Erica's Surrey, do you think, really malfunctioning?
Yeah. Those are pieces of garbage. They're like $2 for a day.
And how does Dorit, who never seems to do anything active, all of a sudden beat all of them in the Surrey race? How does that happen?
Hey, man, who knows? Something in the karmatic universe.
There you go. Oh my gosh. Jane, have you been to Santa Barbara and have you been wine tasting there?
I love Santa Barbara. I have not been wine tasting there, but I've gone on that pier and they have a great little psychic.
No, really?
Yeah. I never went to that spot, but it was really great scenery. I loved it. And, you know, I do like that they like to throw them back, but all the wine just made them tired tonight.
It did. I mean, you know, it does have that effect, you know. And I do kind of agree with Kyle in one regard, where she said she wanted tequila tasting Denise instead of wine tasting Denise to come out. I can totally agree with that. I feel bad for Teddy though, a little bit right now, being the pregnant one of the group. It's a little mm-hmm. tough to always be the pregnant one and kind of sitting in the corner and never being able to like be fully part of the activity that's going on. I don't know. Did you guys have any sympathy for Teddy this time around?
I actually thought it was really, this just sounds awful. I just thought the shots of her sitting like alone at the wine tasting bar, like watching them all drink wine and just being like, you know, just like this smug face. I thought it was kind of funny just because it was so comical that like here she is with this huge group of friends all drinking and she just can't. Like it just, it's kind of pathetic and funny in a way.
Oh my gosh. I know. Jane, what did you think about Teddy? Just like,
I think that's savage. Even that's savage.
Funny. Said it was sitting alone.
She's pregnant.
Well, then she couldn't go wine tasting. They should have just kept Surrey riding till they found a better activity to do.
I know that wasn't really fair to her, but it's like the classic shade that we're used to. But yeah, it was, I did think it was very funny, those inserts of her being like bummed out. Cause you know, we got to add in those moments to plus it up.
Right. Yeah.
I think if nothing else, she was, I kind of agree with you, Ethan. I think she was there for, you know, some good, not outtakes, but sort of cutaway shots of everyone else is blurry and sloppy. And she's like, I'm going to just sit here and eat my appetizer. Thanks, guys.
Her beer butt.
There's one thing we've learned about Teddy. It's she doesn't miss her screen time. She'll be there.
She finds a way always. So. Well, what we move from the wine tasting to the house where they have dinner and this beautiful meal prepared for them. Before we start to talk about that and the drama that, you know, continues there, I just want to remind you guys, thank you so much for listening and subscribing and watching us. We definitely could not do this without you and your involvement and your support. So please, wherever you listen to us or all of your podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, we would love for you to give us 5 stars as a rating, give us some comments. Again, we love hearing from you and your involvement and your interaction. And this really makes a huge difference. So 5 stars would be awesome to have. And tell your friends, tell them to join the party. We're here every Thursday and it's our favorite time of the week. So so let's move into our final topic, which is the dinner party. So they all sit down. They're all, you know, a little sleepy, a little slurry. They sit down to this beautiful meal and immediately the drama kind of comes back up from 3 episodes ago, where we're still talking about Denise and kids at her party and the conversation that happened between the women and overheard by the kids. And there's just this conversation is still happening. And again, I'll just say I'm a little full of it. I just want your impression. First of all, are you done with this conversation? Do you feel like we've fleshed it out to a point where we need to just let it go and move on? Or are you all in? Are you here for it?
I'm not here for it. No, absolutely not. I'm done with it. It feels like these women are just like vultures feeding on a carcass, like just until they get every little bit of it out. And like Denise is not putting up with it, obviously. And, you know, it's just so frustrating that they're ganging up on her in this way. I kind of get where they're coming from, but like all of the drama we've seen so far, it's like they just latch onto some small thing. I would love for these women to find create even substantial pieces of drama, because for us to get behind these like huge wars that are about like the smallest things, like glam, I just can't anymore. So Denise being I don't know, some people are like that where they're super super strict because they were crazy or because they are crazy. And I don't think that's necessarily like a good route to go. But the fact that these women are like terrorizing her over it, I don't really get it. I do love Denise though. So there's that. I love her.
Well, I'm not mad at Denise for sure. I'm confused by her right now. Ethan, how are you feeling about everything?
You know, Jane took the words right out of my mouth. And so did you, Laura. Honestly, I am full of this drama. I did have a glimmer of hope, though, the next morning when Lisa Rinna was like, let's all lay out our grievances and tell each other what we don't like about each other. I was like, thank God. And then it was just back to like the Teddy drama with her
with
and
Kyle.
And I was like, come on, you guys. Like, that's not any new drama. That's just rehashing, again, 3 episodes ago. Mm-hmm. And we're all just... we've heard it before, you know, we're underwhelmed. So yeah, I don't know. I really think they could up the drama this season. And I regarding Denise, I feel like she can do whatever she wants with her kids, right? She can raise her kids however she wants, but she was in Wild Things. You know, they're asking her about how was it like filming the three-way? Oh, I don't want my kids to ever see that. It's like, come, that is such a stupid response. Come on, they're gonna watch it. They're gonna realize, you know, she was married to Charlie Sheen and has this history. I mean, there's no hiding it. And that's what I like about Garcelle as a mom over Denise, is she's just more open and real. Like, Denise is like, I don't know, a little two-faced to me.
So that's what I was gonna say. Do you feel like Denise, there's a double standard there because in her defense, she did say in this episode, she said, you know, I did Wild Things. I was in this, you know, movie and all of that, but that's not who I am. That, you know, my work is not who I am. So do you think that there's a double standard there? Or do you think she's just really trying to keep her work and her private life separate?
She's not trying to keep her work and private life separate. She's talking about her husband's penis on like national television. So I have to argue there. I think there's some crossover between work and private.
I don't disagree. What about you?
I think I might be defending Denise with blinders on, because Ethan's really getting to me, and I feel like he's right about this, because they're like grown. They're old enough that these kids are, they know what's going on, and they thought the threesome talk was entertaining. And they are going to see this stuff. So I think that she is being very naive about what they are going to see and what they're not going to see. So Ethan, you're right. You're right.
Well, I mean, come on. Like, at the barbecue, she's like, I don't want my kids to hear or see anything inappropriate. Yet there's a full camera crew there, like, recording their every move. So you're comfortable with that, but you're not comfortable with them hearing a sex joke. Like, I feel like if you're in this business and you're of that league, like, you got to have a little humor and humility when it comes to raising kids, you know? Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that she should take it Rinna level and I guess reference the book that Rinna wrote and her kids learning some very detailed specific information about some certain sexual things? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Do you think that Denise should then...
Sorry.
Rinna level, or is that too much information to try to share with, say, you know, teenage children?
I mean, I don't think she has to go to that extent with it, writing a whole book about her sexual past, but I think, you know, there's always the talk, right? When you're like 12 or 13, and I think having an open dialogue about sex with your parents is actually really important. I think it can prevent a lot of issues later on in life with relationships and things related to that. So, you know, I think she at least needs to have the talk. But what do you guys think?
I think there's not always the talk, because I never got one and it could have really helped me out. Oh.
I never got the talk either, Jane. But,
oh! No,
never got the
talk. No! Nope. It's just like abstain, abstain, abstain. Mm-hmm. And so I think somewhere in the middle would be great. Like, I don't think you need to teach your kids how to give a great blowjob, but maybe if they ask.
Hey, if they choose to read the book, that's on them, you know? I think a little transparency goes a long way in parenting. That's all I'm going to say. Like, a little transparency goes a long way, but they got to fear you a little bit.
Yeah.
If you get anything done in this world, they got to fear you a little bit. So
yeah.
I think a healthy balance somewhere in the middle. I'd like to live somewhere between Lisa Rinna and Denise Richards.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle. So now, who do you guys, last question before we jump into our special segment. So it clearly, the thing that we're craving from this season is drama. We want more drama. We want better drama. We want real drama. I don't want some made up Buca di Beppo drama. I want some like actual nitty gritty, like get in there details drama. Who do you think could come in at this point and stir the pot the best, Jane?
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, it feels like it's going to be Rinna. No?
I definitely
I feel like Rinna's gonna stir the pot a little bit. I just, next episode, we're going to see the Denise storm out part where things really start to, like, the domino effect will really happen of Denise's drama. So I guess, yeah, it's just like, who's going to be the one to kick that off? And I think it could be Rinna.
I would agree that it's Rinna. My only argument is I feel like Rinna and Erica Jane, and I think I've said this earlier on the show, but they're both, I feel like, very comfortable in themselves. Like, they're not insecure people necessarily. And I feel like they really know themselves and they're not really threatened by these women. And I always, every season, Lisa Rinna and Erica Jane keep returning. I'm kind of like, I love them, but what are they doing on this show? Because I just don't think they need it. And I don't think they really contribute that drama. Like, Kyle is somebody to me who is in a perfect position to be on this show. She's done, you know, two movies in her entire life. She's attempting different things in her career. She doesn't know who she is, right? And I think that's what makes it entertaining to watch. So Lisa Rinna and Eric, sorry, that might sound a little mean, but I'm being truthful. Lisa Rinna and Erica Jane, you know, I just feel like they're not on that level of maturity. They're above that in a way. So I think it's going to have to be like Kyle increasing the drama or Teddy or one of them.
I would agree with you. And I think to your point about Erica, I she's been a little quiet for me this season.
Yeah.
She's been a little under the radar. She's been a little quiet. And, you know, I think if there's anybody that could bring the heat without unapologetically, because I feel like Kyle, while she brings drama, she then immediately cries or apologizes for it. And don't love that, because then it feels like we're never really getting anywhere. And I feel like the only person that can come in and really, you know, bring some like truth serum to this group and kind of start calling a spade is Erica.
Ooh. Yeah. Anyway. Definitely. She's really bringing it mostly in her confessional interviews and less actually IRL.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I just really do feel the loss of Lisa Vanderpump this season. And I wish I didn't feel that, but I can feel it because there's this absent, almost elephant in the room causing less drama rather than more drama. Like at this point, I would rather have this season be about the loss of Lisa Vanderpump and like, where is she? Why are we hearing back from her? I would find that more interesting than the BS being projected right now.
That's a good point. I don't know.
I think that would be a better show right now.
Who was it in the last few episodes who was like, I'm done with us mentioning Lisa Vanderpump? And then this episode, Ethan's like, I would prefer all of it to be about her.
Well, or at least, you know, or have her back. Or I don't know. I mean, they need... Like, Garcelle's too nice, you know? Like, she's too, again, like, comfortable in her own skin, which I love her. I love Erica Jane. I love Lisa Rinna. But I need, like, a really insecure, washed-up child star to join this cast and just start shitting on everyone. Like, that's what I do.
We need
the Vines on this show.
We need Lindsay Lohan.
Or Lindsay or any of them.
Yeah, Amanda.
Okay, so in the event that we can't get Lindsay, and we have to rely on Sutton to step up. So if Sutton were to sort of kind of step up as a major player in this cast, I want us to work on a tagline for her. Maybe we don't, I know it's like on the spot for this time and maybe we don't throw them out there now, but for next week, if we don't see more of Garcelle by next week and we kind of start getting more of the drama, I want us to come up with a tagline for Sutton. I think that's a good homework project. If you have one for us too, put it in the comments. Let us know, because I definitely want to hear what you guys think Sutton's tagline should be for the show when she steps up as a major player.
Do you guys know if they filmed the taglines before or after the filming of the season?
Ooh.
Or no, they must do it before because they're doing confessionals on Zoom, right? Moving forward for like future episodes?
I think you're correct, but I don't know about the taglines. Hey, the world is changing as we speak. We can get Sutton a tagline today if she needs one.
Right.
We can edit that in. So that's our homework project for next week, you guys. Come up with a great tagline for Sutton. Let us know what you think as well. We want to hear your thoughts as well in the comments. All right, I want to move into our special segment. Ethan, take it away.
All right, let's do it, guys. So our first, oh, I have to tell everybody what the special segment is. Sorry, I'm just so excited. So if you're new to our after show, our special segment every week is called How Many F's Do I Give? Inspired by Erika Jayne's song, How Many F's Do I Give? All right, so 10 F's means you give a lot of F's, 5 F's means you give a moderate amount of F's, and 0 F's means you don't give an F. I'm gonna walk you guys through 3 moments of last night's episode, and in the comments and on this panel, tell me how many F's do you give. Okay, the first moment I'm gonna talk about is when it was mentioned that, I forgot which housewife mentioned it, but that Denise had a hooker during Thanksgiving, like over to her house. I gave 10 F's about that because that proves what my opinion is, which is that she needs to own it and talk to her kids about sex if she's gonna have hookers in the house on Thanksgiving. What did you guys think?
So true, 10 F's. I mean, because also I feel like we have mentioned this before throughout, and it's kind of like a running joke of the fact that she had one of Charlie's hookers over to Thanksgiving dinner because he's like, she was in the car. I want her to come eat. And yeah, it definitely relates to this storyline because yeah, they should, but should they know if it's a hooker eating dinner with them? I don't know.
I don't
know. Sex positive.
10 F's. I agree with you guys. You know, I don't know how, hey, you know, maybe she just came across as dad's really nice friend that just happened to be in the car with him. Maybe the kids didn't know, but again, I think this plays into the double standard that we keep seeing, you know, Denise pour out like honey during this season. 10 F's, y'all.
Yes.
For sure. For sure. What did you guys think about at the top of the episode when Kyle was speaking Spanish? I thought that was kind of funny. And different, like when she was speaking Spanish, was it to her housekeeper?
I think so. I think it was, I don't know exactly who she was talking to, but like, I mean, like 5 F's, like.
I'd say 5 F's as
but
well.
I guess again, Mauricio though, like being married to him, that's how I justified it in my head. I was like, oh, yeah. this must be normal, you know, how they talk to each other around the house. So that's why I gave it 5 F's.
I'll give it 7 F's. You know, we love a bilingual queen. Good for her.
Good for her. All right. Last moment. It was hard to come up with these moments this week, guys, because there just weren't enough. As we were talking about, it felt like a long, elongated episode. What did you guys think about, I guess we've already kind of touched on this, but Lisa Rinna talking about or sharing with us that she taught her daughter how to give blowjobs. I mean, I give like, I actually don't know how many F's I give yet. You guys go ahead. How many F's did you give about that?
Oh gosh. I'm gonna give a lot of F's about it again, because I don't want to live as far on that side of the spectrum as Lisa does. I live a little bit closer to the middle. So, you know, again, I like a little transparency in a parent, and that just seemed like a lot of transparency. And yep, 10 F's. <All the F's.
laughs> I give 10 F's for sure. I think it's great. You know, I mean, like, help the kids out, I guess. They're not getting it in school. They're getting the abstinence convo. So maybe just help them learn something. I don't know. They're probably going to be way more prude because of it. So it always works in reverse.
Maybe. I mean, my mom she's pretty open to me about sex. So I'm going to give it like 5 F's because I feel like I got like maybe half that conversation from my mom. not the full extent, but maybe a mention or a tip here and there.
A tip here and there.
A tip here and there.
Ready, Ethan. I love her.
I mean, come on.
Oh my gosh. So fun. So good. All right, Miss Jane, do we have any news and gossip before we wrap up?
Yes, we do. You know, just like this episode, the drama was a little light this week on the web. But I did find some tweets. Now, a fan of the show tweeted out about Denise and her daughters. And not only Denise, but also Erica Jane retweeted it with their take. So this is pretty juicy. The tweet was, but Denise lied about her daughter's reaction. Erica even asked for details and Denise shut it down. Denise is clearly weaponizing her children to selectively judge these women. Denise said, I didn't lie. You weren't there for conversations. I also didn't keep bringing the issue up. They did. I was actually asked for details about my kids that didn't air that I felt were private and the issue was being pushed too far. That's why I shut her down. And Erica said, oh my God, wait, hang on. Oh my God, I lost it. Okay. She goes, the same tweet. She goes, exactly. Finally. Thank you. So.
Interesting.
Differing points of view.
She was asked by the women at the table about questions about her children. And she felt that they were too private, or I'm confused about that.
Yeah. Apparently she was asked for details about her kids that didn't air that she felt were private and the issue was being pushed too far. So, which is bizarre because I don't know why they would have not aired stuff, because I feel like if she felt she was pushed too far, then that's just the beginning of some good drama. Well, and they're not going to not air it. They signed that contract that say, like, you know, it's ours.
I'm sure she's sensitive and wants to keep things private just because of everything that happened with Charlie Sheen. I mean, that really must have taken a toll on her, you know, trust.
That's a good point. I don't know. We're finally kind of getting, I think we've been waiting for these dominoes to really, truly fall since the first episode. And now we're pushing 8 episodes in. And I think we might starting to see the beginning of the end of Denise on RHOBH, at least for season 10. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more information about that next week. Thank you guys so much for joining us for our after show this week. You can, Ethan, where can everybody find you in all the places?
I'm at Ethan B. Paisley on all social media platforms.
Awesome. Miss Jane, what about you?
I'm at Jane Johnson, JOHNSEN _ on all social media platforms as well.
Awesome. And I'm Laura Thomason. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all the things at Laura Thomason. Guys, thank you again so much for joining us. We will see you next Thursday, same time, same place. Again, let us know your comments, your thoughts below, and we'll see you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.